Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. I'm Chris Gunnis, and this is The Art of Change, a series in which we feature artists and performers who are passionate about changing the world. In this episode, the Belarus Free Theatre, in which politics, theatre and life combine with rare edginess. I've come to an anonymous house in central London to meet its co-founders and artistic directors, Natalia Kaliada and Nikolai Halesian. I say anonymous house because this is underground political theatre, campaigning openly against the repressive policies of President Alexander Lukashenko. They were banned in Belarus in 2005 from the company's very inception. And in 2011, Natalia and Nikolai fled their homeland and became political refugees in Britain. I'm here to attend a rehearsal, but a rehearsal with a difference. Natalia and Nikolai are directing via Skype with their actors at an undisclosed location in Belarus. Natalia, it's a fascinating way to direct, being forced to direct. What sorts of problems, practical and artistic, do you face?
I think you choose a very right word to say forced to direct that fascinating way on Skype. Of course, the major challenge that you don't have a physical presence of each other. And it is a major challenge because when you work with actors, it is based on that human connection. It's one of those particular forms as a theater and performing arts that audience loves because people could see actors live on stage. And this is exactly what they appreciate. And this is exactly what we're missing, that physical presence of each other. Besides, when we worked together in the past, we felt that we could resolve problems and protect them. Over the last 10 years, while we are in the UK and the future, unfortunately, it will be continued like that. But we have the most incredible team on the ground in Belarus. It is run by our managing directors, amazing couple of Sveta and Nadia, but unfortunately you only could use secret locations now.
Natalia, take me back to 2005. Why did you start the company?
It's actually started in 2004. Official moment happened in 2005 when we had the press conference. The whole conversation started in 2004 when we had a group of like-minded people discussing an issue, what it means to have free Belarus, how to have European Belarus. That meant to have free music, free theater, meaning that it doesn't have censorship because everything is under severe censorship of a propaganda machine that exists under 25 years in Belarus. And that was that idea that got developed from very global, big political thinking about European place of Belarus in the world into a very practical thing as Belarus Free Theatre.
How did you go about setting up the company?
It was very easy.
Really?
Yes, it was. We just had a day. It coincides with my husband's birthday, but it really, it just an accident. But because he was a former journalist and he was editor-in-chief of three major newspapers that got closed down by authorities, he got in touch with his friends, independent journalists, and asked what is the best day for all of them to get together when we want to make an announcement, and they choose that date. It was the 30th of March of 2005. We got together with two other people, and it was a press conference, and we announced that Belarus Free Theater starts its existence. We didn't have, anything. We didn't have any building, we didn't have any actors at that time, but we said that Belarus Free Theater starts its existence, we will produce shows, we will organize international competition of contemporary drama, as we think that contemporary playwrights are the best x-ray machines of societies, and we will start training of young people in order for them to get rid of brainwashed system of education that is built up on the Soviet Union system of education.
But you were banned immediately, so you went underground immediately?
Before that announcement, we tried kind of to check again because of my husband's investigative journalism skills. and you know how it works, so you have networks everywhere. And he checked whether it's possible for us to get registered, and straight away we got an answer no. And it was an answer that was a very interesting one, because he was told that it's not even about whatever you want to register, it's about your names that are prohibited. If we decided to build up a rocket space machine, it will be prohibited to us because of our names. And when we got that information, we decided that's done. We just announce our existence, and straight away we announce that we will exist underground. And we understood that underground space is much more bigger, because you could dig non-stop, inside and
outwards, in all directions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thought, you don't like us on the surface? Okay. Then
we'll go below the surface.
We go below. What will be even the worst for you, because we will be more danger for you from that part, from underground.
Natalia has just given the middle finger, I think, to the president. let me ask you, is this political theatre? Is it campaigning theatre? Is it activism? Is it physical theatre? Is it narrative theatre? How do you define yourselves?
We say we're more than theatre. Because it's, first of all, the main idea for us to reject the idea of narrow role of theater, that you need to come on stage and entertain audience. The main for us is to make our audience think, but we must think together. And when audience leaves our shows and they tell us, you made me think, this is the main thing for us. That it means the major danger for any dictator. We say that when you put morality and creativity together, this is what brings dictators into panic mode. because they understand that if people start to think and stop accepting everything what system is telling you to do, this is the major change.
But what are your goals? Do you want to overthrow Lukashenko?
Our goals are to create mind-blowing theater of the best artistic quality. When we share that quality with our audience, then we could make next step already together with our audience and try to change society, either to try to change a life of one individual or a group of individuals, society of the country. As an example, we campaign on disabled rights in Belarus for 2 years. We produced the first ever show with participation of disabled people. We organized a number of artistic stunts with our actors and members of society who have different disabilities. They blocked road in Minsk in wheelchairs.
Wow.
They've been queuing in wheelchairs 20 people into public toilets with a very simple placard that you will very well understand, that was written, "We also wanna pee."
very powerful message.
It was special force there. And it was an incredible moment because in a year time, we got public toilets for disabled people.
Wow, that's quite an achievement in a strange kind of way, isn't it?
It's incredible. And or, for example, just imagine that it was a Santa Claus parade in our part of the world we call Father Frost, parade before Christmas and New Year. And we, together with our disabled colleagues, were not been allowed to be part of that parade. And Special Division of Police said, but you, Belarus Free Theater, will not be specifically allowed to be there. In a year time, our colleagues who are part of our show, they've been leading that parade. And besides major change before, disabled people who have vision impaired issues, they were not allowed for auditions at any high institution at Belarus. We brought piano, we brought music instruments, put it in front of the music academy, invited those people who were not allowed for auditions, organized the concert, and in a few years' time, the law was changed, and now they are allowed.
That is extraordinary.
So we are living our life together with people, and we're interested in human beings.
You've also seen the release, campaign for the release of Oleg Sentsov. Tell me about him and the campaign to have him released.
We produced a show that is called Burning Doors, and it's connected to artists in Russian jails. We had Masha Alekhina from Pussy Riot performing together with our actors. It was a story of Peter Pavlensky, contemporary Russian artist, who nailed his scrotum to Red Square.
And he nailed his scrotum to Red Square. To the ground of Red Square.
Just use your imagination, guys. What was that?
Indeed, it's eye-watering stuff.
And he also was arrested for that. He put on fire a door of FSB. And after that, he got arrested. Later, he was released after several campaigns for him. And the last part of the show was dedicated to Oleg Sentsov, Ukrainian filmmaker, who was arrested in Crimea, that is annexed by Russia. And he was sent to Russian jail, and he got 20 years in jail. And we dedicated that show, Burning Doors, to Oleg Sentsov. And his release, and became part of the global campaign to release Oleg Sentsov. And Oleg was released last September, and we went to see him in a week after he was released. And only in December of 2019, I presented him to British public at Frontline Club together with Penn Center.
Natalia, hold on a second. I want to drop back into the rehearsal and hear Nikolai with the actors just for a little bit more to get a sense of what's actually going on and how you work.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm standing in front of the computer screen with Natalia. Natalia, tell me what's happening in this scene.
It has contemporary body movement. It includes choreography. It includes like very serious psychological theater. It includes job of two composers who are specifically on purpose by director prohibited to exchange files in order to create an absolutely unexpected, beautiful, impressive score only based on video that they see. But same time, you are not able to come and touch actor when they need you.
Yeah.
You are not able to be with them. They're so exhausted and they simply want probably to cry. But sometimes we're so exhausted, like with fighting with the computer and internet, that we want to cry and nobody could give us a hug as well. So there are kind of those obstacles as well. And it's happening for the last 10 years when we became refugees, those Skype rehearsals. And it's challenging, very challenging. Interesting moment that we have. Composers, Balaclava Blues, they're located in Canada. We have our video animator who is located in Ukraine, in Kyiv. We have Minsk actors, Belarusian. We have composer in Germany. So you could imagine in terms of timeline and time zones how we rehearse. At 6 a.m., Nikolai works with Canadian composers because it's 1 a.m. in Canada. So they work late. Then at 9 a.m. here, he starts to work with Kyiv. And then he moves to rehearsals in Minsk. When he finishes in Minsk, he starts to work with Germany.
And do you ever all come together? I mean, how does it work in the final performance?
We now work on bringing actors for 2 weeks before the Barbican in order to make adaptation for, not even adaptation, but polishing for the Barbican. Because Minsk conditions doesn't allow us to have rigging that we will have the Barbican in terms of light, video, sound systems, because just imagine, it is a very old warehouse from the Soviet Union time that was discovered by our assistant director. And at some point they have stones coming down from ceiling because the place is very old. So just to give you like, try to imagine those conditions that when you are rehearsing, some bits and bobs are coming from the ceiling of the place.
Are there not problems, though, with security in getting the actors out of Belarus and bringing them to London? Don't they face problems with the authorities, or do you do it in a clandestine way?
We use the same old model that we use for 15 years of existence, because this particular year, it's a major year for Belarus Free Theatre. In March of 2020, we become 15 years old. And we usually go through another country, so the company doesn't fly as the company from Belarus. But I will not tell you details, otherwise we will not manage to do that.
We're hearing a rehearsal, we haven't talked about the audience. How do you get the people safely to your performances, given the repression?
It started, of course, like 15 years ago, and first step been done that Nikolai and me, we went around universities in Belarus. We printed out in our home an announcement and with our phone numbers saying that if you want to join in and come and see the show or join our training session, give a call. And he went to male toilets, I went to female toilets, and we put it inside of every single cabin in order for university administrators do not find it. Then slowly with internet appearance in Belarus and with Live Journal, we started through Nikolai's blog that had 2 million followers, started to spread that information. And it was a number, there were two places in Minsk, like two coffee shops where we knew owners, and they will say to their visitors and clients, this particular theater got open. If you want, you could go and see it. So it was guerrilla marketing and word of mouth. It continues a bit like that. Of course, we don't go into university toilets anymore, but it's necessary for you to find a number of our audience manager, and then you will get a phone call or a text message of a meeting point. You will be asked preferably to have your passport with you in case that it might be detention. And then you will be met at that meeting point. From a meeting point, you will be taken to a place where we perform. In the past, we had occasions when audience got arrested together with us. Recently, because of that crazy fear of Lukashenko, of Putin, he is trying to show to the West that he is kind of a liberal person, and KGB didn't visit our shows to arrest people. I'm sure they visit to watch it.
Have audience members been arrested? Have your performances been raided?
Performance has been raided. The first time it was in 2007 when we started our global campaign for free Belarus in solidarity with Belarus, and it was started together with Mick Jagger, frontman of Rolling Stones, Tom Stoppard, and President Václav Havel. It was started very simply. Three of them recorded very short video appeals to appeal to people of Belarus and wish them freedom and freedom of assembly. And after that, our show with all our audience got arrested. Only because of possibility for us to reach to Tom Stoppard, who became our patron and who visited Belarus in August of 2005, it was possible to get in touch with him. And he sent a message to journalists in different parts of the world. The message got straight away out and we got released in the morning. We just want to do theater that will make all of us think together in order to live in very peaceful, safe society.
But politically, what do you want to achieve? Do you want to be able to go back home and function as a free theater without fear of repression?
I think it's a very interesting question, because when we only established Belarus Free Theatre, we said that Belarus Free Theatre will exist till dictatorship is over in Belarus. And when we started to travel the world, and especially with the last 10 years here in the UK, it became clear that Belarus Free Theatre is needed not only under dictatorship. Probably it's even more needed under democracy, because under dictatorship everything is so straightforward, because it's very black and white and there is no gray zone, and you just have the major idea for everyone to be safe and nobody get arrested, beaten up, or as four of our friends been killed. Under democracy, everything is heterogeneous. It's not possible exactly to catch and identify the problem, especially within the last few years. It becomes more clear that, first of all, dictatorship is contagious, and democratic leaders, they want to use methods of dictatorship, put it into democratic frame and sell it to population of their countries. And we people who have like very high sensitivity to any form of control feel it very badly in the UK, in the United States, that there is a very strong tendency and desire of democratic leaders to stay in power for good, as dictators are doing, but still to continue to call it democracy, but when rights of people are taken slowly from them.
Through your experience with this company, what have you learned about the power of theatre to change and to sustain the human spirit and its indomitability?
I understood personally that there is no single chance to change a society with a show only.
What
else
do we need?
It is necessary to go through the whole society, and performance and great theater show is the most incredible entrance point to much bigger steps. But it is that amazing space where all of us could dream, and when all of us could imagine what might happen to us or what already happened and how we could avoid that. And then we must leave theater space, theater building, and start to act. on changes within society.
So theater is only the starting point.
It is.
Natalia, thank you very much indeed for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to our further conversations.
It's my great pleasure. And thanks to you for listening to this episode of The Art of Change on the Barbican's podcast, Nothing Concrete. And you can subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. And do leave a message to help spread the word. Next week, we start a four-part series where I'll be talking to the actor, writer, and so much more, Stephen Fry, about Beethoven, bipolarity, and how art and comedy can change our world. For now, from me, Chris Gunness, goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.